Alrighty. If you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If you will call roll call, please, Bill.
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Graves?
Here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Wiesen?
Here.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to public comment. During public comments, a public may address the board on any issue within the board's jurisdiction which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board or the commenter, and any clarifying questions from the board will go through the chair. The time limit is also 3 minutes. Are there any public comments? No public comments. We will close and go to presentations. Any presentations?
None this evening.
Thank you. When we get the consensus calendar, what did you want pulled?
Item number 3, the California Special District Association. I have a couple questions on that.
Okay, and then I would also like to pull item 5, the Discovery Bay Boulevard banners, strictly just so it can be explained in case somebody doesn't know what it is.
And I would, President, I'd like to recommend that maybe we consider G2, put it on the consent calendar, the Blue Star Memorial Dedication Ceremony.
Okay, at this point, can it be moved?
I think it's an expense involved in that.
There was an expense in it? Is there an expense in it?
Well,
there's an expense on that.
Sir, I apologize. I've never had that issue from me. I do not know the answer.
All right, let's leave it on. Let's just leave it tonight on G2.
That's fine.
Okay.
Not making it.
Okay, so with the exception of items 3 and 5, can I get a motion for the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Any comments? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Item 3.
Mr. President, members of the board, this item is before you this evening. As you are aware, this year's annual CSDA conference is taking place in Monterey next month. This is our, I refer to CSDA as our mothership, so to speak, and they provide good education and educational opportunities for staff and board to work together. Staff did send out an email to board members back in July seeking interest in who would like to attend. We did receive 2 requests to attend that from Director Wiesen as well as from Vice President Graves. Pursuant to Government Section Code 61047E5, the board must previously authorize the board members' presence so that they can be allowed to attend.
What are the dates again?
September 16th through the 19th.
How much?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in getting additional education and going to conferences and things like that, and I certainly feel that as board members and staff members, they volunteer their time to go, that the district should pay for transportation and housing and miscellaneous meals, etc. The only concern I have on this particular item is it mentions a stipend, and I'm just uncomfortable with that. I think that if we go to these types of things, we volunteer to go to them, it's not a mandatory thing, and being the district picking up all other expenses, I just feel uncomfortable that we're being remunerated for, you know, $115 for attending, personally. So that's my issue. I'm not sure how the other board members feel.
So there's a pretty tight agenda on breakout sessions, and I'm expecting that the directors that are attending to bring back some good information for me. I'd like to go too right now, but I've got some scheduling conflicts. And in that point, there's also a board meeting scheduled that night on the 18th, and there's also some great breakout sessions on workers' comp liability and some things I'd like to get some information on. And I'm asking the board to support the directors to go get this information, but also consider having that meeting canceled. And so as far as volunteering and all that stuff, no, this is important information. You guys can't all go because of everything we do. I expect you guys to bring back some good information, and I'll have some more questions for you guys to ask for me, so I appreciate it.
comments?
I want to comment. I attended the webinar that was here, about a week ago. It was absolutely fabulous, and it was on, you know, the board's responsibilities, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, again, I don't care whether I'm here or not, okay? But I think it's an important conference to go to, and whatever the law says, you know, I think we should go.
Okay. I think there's no doubt that it's important. We're all in agreement. I think the question is whether it should be a stipend event or not. So at this point, I would move that we authorize any of the board members that want to participate to go to this conference, but they're to remove the stipend compensation from the tax.
I can speak to that. I did look at this issue. If I can just share with the board my observations. The government code section under the CSD law that allows for the compensation or stipend, as we've been calling it, provides that you as a board of directors may provide by ordinance or resolution that each of its members receive the compensation in the amount not to exceed $100, with the exception of the water code. Last year, you adopted ordinance number 23 that provides for a stipend in accordance with Government Code Section 61047 and provides a stipend of $150 per day of service for performing duties for the town of Discovery Bay. The ordinance is silent on a definition of day of services, so I went back to the code section that authorizes stipends, and this is what it says. For purposes of this section, a day of service means any of the following, and it lists five items, the last being participating in a training program on a topic that is directly related to the district. My interpretation of your ordinance does not allow you to make a deviation from it without amending your ordinance. So it's my opinion at this point in time that you cannot have a motion to deprive somebody of stipends under the existing ordinance. As I've interpreted in accordance with Government Code Section 61047. However, I would like to point out Subdivision D of that section states a member of the Board of Directors may waive any or all of the payments permitted by this section. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, I think at this point, then we should let the directors who don't want to be paid not be paid, and the directors who want to be paid.
That is my opinion. Those who do go.
So I'll leave. I just won't leave that up to the directors attending, and if they so desire to be paid, they will come, and those who don't want to be, won't be.
I'm going to comment on this agenda and meeting minutes. I believe more than two more than one.
Well, but if you didn't, you wouldn't have a quorum.
Well, you'd have a quorum.
I'm going to make a motion on that.
No, he's saying that if three of the board members are at the conference and are not here for that meeting, then you wouldn't have a quorum to hold the meeting.
Do we have three board members attending?
Two board members are attending, plus myself. We were intending on returning on Wednesday afternoon prior to the board meeting. Curtin Steele is accurate in that there are some things that we are going to forego in order to return to the meeting. So I think that this question is valid, but we were planning on returning. At least I was, as your general manager.
We have to be back for another issue, yeah.
All right, so we're going to have our board meeting that night.
Yeah. That's your prerogative.
We should have a board meeting that night.
Well, let me ask a question. Is there, in order to get back in time, and you're at conference, are there some, I'll call them classes or training sessions, that you will not be able to participate in because you'd have to leave before they're finished?
Well, from prior attendance, the sessions are typically provided over a 3-day period, and they're duplicated and presented at different times. So obviously, people that will have interest, separate interests, can be at certain ones at certain times. And so the answer would be yes. We would miss an afternoon session, part of an afternoon session.
But
from 3 o'clock on, I don't think that there. I have to take a look at the schedule.
There's a 3 to 4:30 member liability issues. I think some reason.
Again, from those attending, I don't know if that's offered another time. This is new to me. I haven't looked at the schedule that deeply yet. So, but like I said, typically those sessions are offered at different times. If that's only offered at that time, I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the schedule.
Sometimes they record those sessions, and if it's not offered at a previous time in order for the attending members to get back, maybe we could purchase that recorded session and actually have it here at one of our meetings. We could all participate in and listen to what was presented. That would solve the problem.
Let me ask another question. So you showed this is the 16th through the 19th. So how are you coming back on the 16th? What day is the week of the 16th?
Thursday is just a lunch and follow up.
Okay, that sounds good. It's actually
so we're saving the town a night's stay actually by coming back on Wednesday. So Wednesday is just the closing ceremonies.
How would everybody feel about moving the meeting to Thursday? Our meeting to Thursday. Thank you for your day to get back to me.
What does it do for council?
Does that work for you?
Pretty certain.
We need to take care of the town.
Well, let me look at my schedule.
I'm not available.
See what you got. You ready? Chris?
I'm available.
All right, why don't we move the meeting?
Wait. What's the date?
19th.
Other than the fact that it's Scott McCool's birthday.
You can come to me.
That's on my calendar.
Okay.
Is it on your calendar, Carol?
Yes, it is.
All right, so are we in agreement to move the meeting?
I don't have any problem with that. Do you, staff? Does that work better for you, Chris?
You're talking about September, am I correct?
Yeah.
September.
Yes.
September. Are we in agreement? We don't solve that problem.
So, is this the time to do that thing, council? Is that okay? It's kind of off the agenda item, but it's related because it's scheduling.
Yeah, do it at the end of the meeting.
Okay, that's right. Okay. All right. Let's move to item 5, consent card. And the only reason I pulled that, Rick, is just so you can explain to people who are sitting here what it is in case they don't know what it is with the roadway banners entail.
I can probably explain that.
Yeah, we need to take an action item number 3. There was no
motion.
There was a motion got started.
I would so move to approve item E3 on the consent calendar.
Need a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item 5.
Item 5 is for informational purposes only. The district itself has no jurisdiction over this item, but the first year that this was done, it was neglected by the organization that was putting them up to form the board of them. And so what these are is American Hero Tribute banners that memorialize and honor post 9/11 military personnel that have given their life for the country. Typically, there are about 26 lampposts out on the boulevard. Most of you have seen those over the last few years. They fly for about a month. We try to get to Veterans Day with it, but sometimes the wind doesn't help, it isn't cooperative, and they hang up there and just, they will be in, the only effect it has on the town is that the town banners will come down for that brief period of time and then go back up after the tribute banners go down. So the way that works is we have to get permits from the county and from PG&E to be able to use the lane closure and get the encroachment permit to actually put them up and take them down. And then also PG&E owns the poles, so we get permission from PG&E to put fasten them to their poles. Again, it should be up for about 6 weeks. It gets a good response from the community. The schools go out and do field trips and look down, and it tends to be well accepted, and we would just like the board to know what my wife is doing.
Remember, well, just so we let the people sitting here know what it is. Any questions, the board? Any questions? Okay, if there's no questions, then can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
E5. A second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we can move on now to public hearing. Public hearing to consider the following. Adopt an initial study, mitigated negative declaration, and mitigation monitoring and reporting program for the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District new water well, supply well 07 project. Rick?
Before I give you a report, there was an item, there was a 3 pages handed out to you, additional materials. They were inadvertently left off the report, but they are there for you this evening. This project, Well 7, has been a couple of years in the making. It has been a fairly laborious process for us. As you recall, we had a very difficult time siting the well. We finally were able to do so after approximately 4 or 5 months of trying to determine a suitable location. The item before you this evening and the subject of the public hearing is the, as the President noted, the initial study and the mitigated negative declaration is required through the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. The well will have a design capacity of approximately 2,000 gallons per minute, which is consistent with Well 5A. And this project does not envision at this point in time, there will be in the future, but not right now, an expansion of the Newport Water Treatment Plant as part of the project. Well 7 will eventually connect in once it's completed into the raw water line on Newport Drive, which feeds into the Newport Water Treatment Plant. In compliance with CEQA, the notice was posted in the Contra Costa Times on July the 18th. The confirmation of the notice is part of the packet. Notices were mailed to all property owners within 500-foot radius of the site, and the mitigated negative deck was posted on the town website, and a copy was placed at the back of the room for public review. It was also filed with the county, and it was sent to the state clearinghouse. So we completed all those CEQA requirements. The notice period, it's a 30-day notice. We actually did a little bit longer than that. Started on July the 15th, just due to time with the newspaper advertising, that sort of thing, through tonight. As of the date of the publication report, actually as of tonight, we have had no comments, negative, we have had no negative comments on the negative deck, although we did receive one comment from the state. It's attached to the report that has to do with if we alter the waterway, which we're not intending on doing, there are certain hurdles we would have to jump, but we were going to do that, but that's not envisioned. We do recommend the approval of the IS submitted mitigated negative deck and adoption of resolution 2013-17. Our engineer who's here for this item as well as primarily the next item on the agenda, John Fawcett from Blue North and Scomadini, is also available to answer any questions that the board may have, as well as Virgil King here, water and wastewater manager.
All right. Bill, thank you.
What's the size, the visual appearance after the well is put in? You know, the fence around it and whatever structure that needs to be above, approximately what does that kind of look like?
We're determining that currently, but the fenced area is actually very small. It's like probably on the order of 30 feet by 50 feet fenced area total. And we've been working together here with Virgil on that. What we envision is a steel pale fencing that you can sort of see through, graffiti proof. It won't really invite a lot of vandalism. Fairly, if you're driving down Newport Drive and you look to your left, it's a little bit down a little bit. You see a steel pale fence with a pump pedestal pad that's about 10 by 10 that conforms with the EPH. Some station piping that comes off of it, probably 15 feet long, and it goes underground, up the road, up the driveway coming down. I don't know if you've seen that site or not. Or not, but and then the top is our overboard structure we find in the storm drain and then the raw water line. So, and then there's a PG&E transformer and a electrical panel for the pump station. It's actually very small footprint, and the project overall, I mean, like Rick indicated, it took a long time to find the site, and this one barely fits in there. We have to maintain setbacks from surface water bodies, etc. And we just had a heck of a time finding the site. This barely works. But it's very close to the raw water pipeline. The cost estimate in our master plan is probably overestimating it because it's so simple and easy to construct. So the impact is pretty minor.
Right. What about, is there a physical structure that goes over the top of the pump at all, or is just those items are just out
all
in?
All open.
All open. Okay.
Occupying an area, like I said,
less than half the size of this building.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mary Ann?
I have no questions.
Chris?
No,
thanks. John? I have no questions.
You need to open up the public meeting.
Oh, that's right. This is a public hearing. Okay. At this time, we'll open the public hearing for item G1.
Yep.
Any public comments? You're only public.
Yeah. The only thing I want to alert you to is part of the CEQA requirement is that staff must notify the homeowners nearby. Is when you actually do the drilling of the well, it isn't just a 7-to-5 project. It is 24/7, or at least maybe 7 to 10 days. So part of that CEQA requirement, one of the elements is we have to notify them.
That's been done, hasn't it, right?
Well, no, they've been notified of it, but we will personally go out there and talk to them. Let them be aware of when the exact dates are that we are drilling so that, you know, in the middle of the night, sometimes the windows open that they don't
hear. And that's what we handed out tonight is the mitigation monitoring program. That's what covers, and these are what's required by us to comply with exactly what we're referring to.
And we haven't put a sign out there with our name and number in case in the middle of the night something happens and somebody wants to complain. I'm giving permits.
Put Rich in
The decibel level of the drilling and apparatus and all that.
We are very concerned about that. You know, there is. We are placing a sound curtain. I believe it's 16 feet tall, if I'm not mistaken. And we have one home where the rear, as you probably know, most homes out here, the rear window is open. So we have one home in rear where the rear is facing where we are planning to drill. So we plan to put what we call a temporary sound curtain there to just minimize that impact there. It'll probably be in the 60, maybe 70 dB range, which is reasonable, but you'll probably be, because of think of it like the oil drillers rigs, you hear about the tools, this and that, hopefully no cussing, but they'll be making banging some noise here and there. So I will inform the residents there on that situation. So what to expect.
Is there any public comment? If there is no public comment, we will close public comment and not accept any negative comments from this point on.
Or any correct.
Okay, so let's take this back to the board. Any questions from the board? Then we need a motion.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
Here on the recording.
Second.
Any other comment? Take the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. I'd like to find it when we complete the items in the G, I will go back to President Report and Director's comments, okay? Inadvertently stated, I didn't see. Item G2, consideration and approval of Blue Star Memorial Dedication Ceremony at Slifer Park.
G1 is the last item was the public hearing on the well. Mr. President, this item, the next item, G1, is the actual
award. Oh, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Of the well.
Okay, hold on. I apologize. I just clicked down one instead of the other. All right, let me back up one.
Did I miss item D? Item D?
Yeah, I just said I'm going to call it at the end of that. Okay, let's go back to G1. Award the bid for the drilling and construction of water production well number 7.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you this evening is to award a bid in the amount of $375,808 to Zim Industries for the construction and installation of water well number 7. The Ludorf and Scalmanini and John Foss is here this evening. Is the engineer record and design of the well consistent with California Department of Public Health regulations and requirements, as he mentioned a moment ago. The well was put to bid. There were 3 bidders that attended the mandatory pre-bid conference, and 2 bids were received. Zim submitted the lowest responsible bid in the amount of $375,880. The construction of the well is not the final product that you're going to end up seeing. This is the first part that actually drills the well, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, they drill the well, identify the motor, the pump that needs to be utilized. And then when they pull offsite at that point in time, once the motor, the pump is identified, the size of the motor, John's firm will then finish the design and will send it out to bid to complete the project, which is all the electrical and connecting the pipes to the Newport treatment plant. It's hoped that we would have well 7 online and operational, hopefully to meet next summer's peak demand. John is here to answer any questions with respect to the design of the well itself. Virgil will probably sure answer any questions you may have as well. And the two bids, the one bid, $375,880, and the other bid, just so you know, was $458,022. And I asked John, I said, why such a big discrepancy? He said, well, Zim, the third company that did not submit the bid, resulted in a much lower bid for us because they figured they were going to be competing against that other firms that actually benefited us. So the numbers are actually pretty solid. So
I just add that the well 6 cost is nearly the same as this one, and that was 3 years ago. And so this well cost is about the same as that one 3 years ago. Well 6.
What did we budget for this portion of it?
Roughly that amount. Because we based it on well 6.
$1,354,000 for the entire project. $254,000. I'm not sure what the breakdown of the components are overall. John may be able to answer that, address that question more specifically.
So it was $254,000 was the direct answer?
$1,254,000 was for the entire project.
Yeah. And so the breakdown is the well portion is probably going to, well, we know that's 2.5, right? Pump station is going to be less than that amount, and even though we budgeted, it's like we never know what we're going to find at the site. And like I indicated at the beginning of this conversation, this particular site is going to result in cost savings regarding the budget that was provided for us. So
I think what he's asking for, John, is do you know what the engineer's estimate was for this portion of the project?
Oh, yeah, it was around $360,000 or so, right? That's what it was at well 6.
The only reason I asked that is because you made the comment that they've been much lower because they thought they were going to be bidding against somebody else and didn't. So apparently we would have bid this wrong.
No. What was the question?
Explain it.
At the $375,000, Rick said the reason we got lucky and got that figure is because the bidder who won the bid thought he was going to be bidding against somebody else and lowered his bid.
That's right.
So had we not known that was going to happen, did we plan on this being more money? Then I'm just curious how close the budget we're going to be here.
Well, this time of year, of course, going out to bid, when those drill rigs are in huge demand, we feel lucky that we got two. Sometimes we get one. But we were really lucky when three showed up at the bid. So that meant they all had to be more honest. They know each other. They know who's going to bid. It's a limited field of bidders. And so in this case, actually what happened was the bidder that was normally get the low bid had a drill rig accident and he couldn't bid. So that's why he declined bid. But we felt that the guy that did get low bid felt it was a competitive bid, and that's what resulted in the price.
And Mary, any questions?
No.
No, I said same comment. Manager hadn't asked the question I was going to ask, why it's $100,000 difference, but it's been explained.
Okay. Thank you. Chris?
I'm good.
Okay. Any public comment? We left for public.
one of the issues, it's still an unknown yet, is
when I did meet, John and I did meet with the drillers on site, is because of the site being so tight, what we don't know is when a drill rig standing 40, 50 feet tall in the air has to have a lot of support equipment, and so the site may not allow for that. You know the area, there's a pedestrian trail that goes to Safeway. We may have to park some of the support equipment on that trail and do a temporary trail around that. So I'm asking if it's $375 to just add another $20,000 in there. In case we have to build a temporary one, we would probably do it with wood, plywood, around that for 2 weeks and take it back up and then have the existing trail back, restore it back.
Any other comment?
Mr. President, if I may add, what we've done in the past in situations like this is that the board has authorized the general manager to authorize change orders up to 10% of the contract amount, which would allow for that kind of a variance. Generally, we would do that. In this case, we didn't, and to be honest, I'm not sure why I did not include it, but normally I would do that. And anything above that 10% amount would come back to the board for authorization. So if we ever reach the 10%, we would come back to the board. We do not anticipate that happening, but if what Virgil's indicating, we do need to relocate that trail for some reason for a temporary period of time, we would have the ability to do so.
Okay. There's no further comment. We can have a motion including 10% override.
Good.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes. Okay. Now, let's go down to G2. This is consideration approval of Blue Star Memorial Dedication Ceremony at Slipher Park. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As you recall, last year, the board authorized the Discovery Bay Garden Club to work with staff as part of the Earth Day project to complete installing Blue Star Memorial Byway marker at Slipher Park. That project, as you know, is complete. And at this point in time, the Garden Club would like to do a dedication ceremony at 2 p.m. on Veterans Day, November the 11th. The only reason we're really bringing this to you is because there would be some minor, there are going to be some minor staffing costs associated with that. It would just be assisting. It's a holiday, so we might have to bring some people in. We don't know that yet, what's going to happen. We don't know what the final plans are. But we don't expect it to be any more than just over $500 in this case scenario. It'll probably be staffed by the manager and maybe one field employee.
Questions? Public comment? All right, so you're looking for approval of Blue Star? Okay. So you're asking for approval of bringing staff in at our expense. Okay, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Item 3. Consideration and approval of Harvest Festival at Discovery Bay Community Center.
Similar to the last item, the community garden that we built as part of the Earth Day, one of the members that has a couple of plots over there has, we do have some vacant ones, as you know, has offered to plant those with pumpkins. And we agreed to let her do that, and we anticipate about 400 pumpkins blossoming by about the time Halloween comes. And part of the discussion took place is to be able to sell those pumpkins and have a pumpkin festival. And a lot of ideas were kicked around, and due to just staffing and volunteers and other logistical issues, we felt that it would be best if we just had a pumpkin patch on 2 weekends prior to Thanksgiving. And then on October the 18th, which is a Friday, we would show the movie, it's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, open to the public free of charge, that sort of thing, similar to what's been going on Friday nights out there right now. There would be some minor staffing expenses again. We anticipate Any proceeds would help cover those costs, but if they didn't, we're looking at some minor staffing costs for those weekends to help staff it. Again, we are anticipating volunteers, but in the event we don't have the volunteer workforce that we would need to assist, it would be approximately $750.
I'm assuming you're going to need to get permits for this and bring in toilets.
The bathrooms are there. We can open, if we need them, we can open the bathroom buildings. We actually have a restroom
we have
a bathroom out there for the tennis courts.
And we're giving away the pumpkins?
No, we're going to sell the pumpkins.
You don't need a permit for that?
No.
You sure? Want to find out?
Minimal charge of $5 and $8 for a large one, and I will find out if it is required to sell pumpkins. I don't believe that it is. It's our land, it's our property, there are pumpkins. But we will find out.
You can maybe consider it as you walk into the pumpkin patch, a $5 donation, and you get to select any pumpkin you like. Mm-hmm. Then we didn't sell anything, they donated to the community. So. That would be a good idea.
I love it.
Any comments from the board?
The only comment I had, it's just strictly a public safety issue. Are we going to allow the residents to cut their pumpkins, or is that going to be a staff issue?
That's why we would need staff there, is to make sure that they are done with proper equipment, and then we would go ahead and they would pick them and we would select them.
All right, so no cut fingers. And then the other issue, I would recommend that in lieu of us trying to recreate the wheel on the movie, that we contact the Dove Enterprises, who are hosting the current movie program, and allow them to just do what they normally do. I think they've got the bugs all worked out, and that's just one less issue for staff to deal with. And if they would volunteer to help the community, maybe we could, by doing that for us, we could offset the cost of one of their movies or something like that.
I spoke with Baron Perez this afternoon and asked her that question, and she has already been in contact with Amanda on this subject specifically. I don't know. She said they're still working on the details.
All right, so there's a possibility that we... You know, I'm just looking to eliminate some staff time and headache, and why go through it twice. So. Okay.
Right. Any public comment?
I want to make a comment.
Sure.
I just wanted to add that I've been going to the Friday night movies, and the attendance on some nights are just absolutely bad. There was over 300 people there 2 weeks ago. So people are really enjoying it.
Great. There's no other comments, and can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Okay, item 4, consideration and possible action on Discovery Bay Community Center swimming pool hours and operation and fee schedule. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board, as you're aware, the pool opened to the public on July 22nd after delays. We've been assessing the use of the pool. It was higher during the time when school was out of session than it is now that school is back in session. So staff is recommending that we change hours from 11 to 7, Monday to Friday, to 2 to 7, Monday to Friday, and from 12 to 6 on Sunday to 11 to 7 on Sunday, so we're getting good use on the weekends. There is a sheet that is attached to this that shows the number of users since the beginning through August 13th. And since August 13th, so just in the last week, we've had 312 people in the pool, just in the last week alone, so it's really picked up. Now, I will say a large number of that, if anybody drove by on Sunday, there was a large party out there on Sunday, which contributed to that significantly. But we do have a number of large parties, pool parties taking place over the next few weeks. Part of the recommendation is also to change the fee from $3, maintain the $3 entrance fee. If you're a spectator and not swimming, lower that to $2. In the last 90, if you're going to come in for the last 90 minutes of the session, reduce that to half price, 50%. The other thing that we are recommending, if the board approves it, is to be able to provide some complimentary passes to encourage people to use it. We have them here for the board this evening to hand out to your friends and neighbors and encourage them to use the pool. And if you have any questions, we're here to be able to answer them.
Very good.
I'm just going to comment that I've been handing out information on the pool at the farmer's market on Sundays. So it's amazing how many people still don't realize that that belongs to the community, but getting really good response.
I can say that the usage is picking up. It's really picking up on the weekends. Once school went back in session, it dropped off, and that's where we really saw the drop. And you've all seen the drop as well. You've never seen cars in the parking lot. But, the afternoons after school gets out are relatively well attended.
So we have a total on staff cost. We have a lifeguard on duty. He gets or she gets X amount per hour, and we have cashier, if you will. Is there anybody else that's there, staff-wise, during the pool hours?
Not as part of the regular operation of the pool itself. We do have staff that comes in and out for different things here and there.
Right, but
not dedicated to the pool. You know, I anticipated this question late this afternoon, and just doing some back of the napkin math, I would say that from the time we opened to today, we are probably marginally recovering our costs. I don't have that exact number, but I can certainly get that for the next meeting or provide it to you
offline. I was just curious as to what's the fully burdened rate of those two employees? And math after that.
It's minimum wage plus the burden. And the lifeguard gets a little bit more than the office person, than the cashier person.
Around $30 an hour.
No. Well, for fully burdened?
Yeah,
probably.
You need 10 swimmers per hour. You just have 10 swimmers per day. They only go in once in 3 months, so it's 30 an hour to run. All right.
That's why I say, you know, there are some days when you only have, there was one day we only had 10 swimmers, and there was, the other day we had 24 and 40 and 54, and on Sunday we had 169. We're anticipating we pre-sold this Saturday another 40, I believe.
My only comment would be to kind of piggyback on what Mary Ann was saying, and we can't expect the public to immediately recognize that this is now an asset to the community. It'll take a season probably for the word to get out, and you know, it's kind of similar to the basketball courts down at Cornell from the standpoint that, you know, we pay, or Regatta, you know, we pay for the maintenance and upkeep of those courts, and as a public entity, we don't make any money on it, and I recognize the fact that staff's involved with this particular entity, but that was part of what, I appreciate the fact that it's growing a little bit, but I think we need to give it some time to let the public understand that this asset is theirs to use.
I'd like to see some sort of a season pass or some sort of family pass or a six pack or whatever the pass is, but I know that you could probably buy a block of tickets or entries, you know, through the other different cities around us, and so I think that would be helpful. I did bring in a little league team for a get together there, and a lot of people from Brentwood that came, and I've been going there about 10 times now. And I would just say there's people that are just discovering it. They're just, wow, there's a pool here. It's a lot less crowded. It's a lot more clean, a lot more well-maintained than going to Brentwood. And why go to Brentwood when I can do it right in our backyard? So I think it's been pretty positive. So, yeah, but I would like to see a season pass or something.
They have a 10 punch pass right here on the
10 punch pass.
But we do, Director Steele, that is on there. I'm sorry, I didn't go farther than the line. There is is a 10-punch pass of $20, which is a dollar off a day. So if you sell the 10-punch pass for $20.
Was it an expiration date or what?
The 2013 season.
Okay.
The only thing that I would like to see us get away from is having multiple charges. $3 if you swim, $2 if you don't swim, $1 if you come at 3:30. You're not necessarily police this. You have people sitting there to pay $2 if it's 90 degrees, I guess, why would we want to go swimming? He's not going to walk in and pay the dollar, he's going to go in the pool. And you don't have any, why don't we just leave it at $3? It's a bargain. There's no, where else can you go? You don't have to spend any cash for $3 if you can swim all day in a pool.
Well, we do have a number of people that go in and they watch their kids and they're not in swimming gear. They're in regular street clothes. They're not going to go in the pool. And the idea was, and it's all computer based when they come in. It's not somebody there with just a cash box. It all gets plugged into the computer. All of these get plugged in depending on what they're going to be charged. It's certainly the board's prerogative, but that was the thought. We do get a number of people who just come in and just sit there. And it's, they don't use the pool. They take a deck space, but they're not taking up the water space.
From an event standpoint, the liability though to be inside
charging.
And I think from an event standpoint, you would have people that would show up like we had that wouldn't swim, you know. So as long as they got to come out of the pool and go to the bathroom to change if they're not in a suit already. And that doesn't take their clothes off, and you know, you all you do is keep us on. If somebody wants to rip us off for a buck.
My observation has been that the lifeguard has been very observant with the wristbands, and if you don't have your wristband, she reminds you to go check in at the cashier, and that's been good. But I have seen some older people taking care of their grandkids and letting them, you know, they're sitting under an umbrella. I don't think they should be charged under the other.
Is there some action to be taken on this? Except?
Change the hours in the
Is there any public comment?
The second page of the report, which is has the community center logo on it, it says recreational swim hours of operation and fees. That's what we're looking for the board to approve this evening.
I would move that we take staff's recommendation for hours and fees.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, now let's go back to D, which would be the director's comments, which I can't do this. Marion, any comments?
No.
Chris?
Yeah, on August 8th, I attended the Byron Union School District trustees meeting. We went over the state just to set out the budget, so there was a response to that. Again, the enrollment is declining in our community. The school's in deficit spending right now. There's going to be cuts in 2015. They also have quite a detail on their board policies and administrative regulations, similar to ours, and it was interesting to note that when they rent out their spaces to nonprofits, that they have to have a requirement to get all direct costs reimbursed, and also a proof of insurance, similar to what we're doing.
That's it.
Joe?
None.
Bill?
No.
Nothing for me either. All right, let's move on to the Veolia report. Mr. Berman, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
But he left.
Steve Jobs wrote a song. My name is Tom Garcia of Joy Water, project manager for the wastewater and water treatment facilities for the town of Discovery Bay. We present the monthly operations report for July 2013. We had a 1,435 days of safe operations, 61,908 work hours since the last reported incident. Under training, safety operations and equipment, monthly training consists of introduction to first aid, CPR, bloodborne pathogen, good housekeeping, hot work, that's cutting, welding, and grazing, fire extinguisher training, take five safety tailgates, we have seven of them, West Region Safety Council calls, monthly regional safety webinar, under operations, we had hawk winds, lab cow data, infantry training, provided by Bryce Benke for one day during July, and oil and sampling for analysis. This is a new item I'm putting here for reports that are submitted to the director of our agencies. You can be aware of all the reports that I'm submitting for the month. For the month of July, I submitted the monthly discharge monitoring report, the monthly electronic state monitoring report, the quarterly chronic toxicity report, quarterly groundwater monitoring report, semi-annual report for dioxin, monthly telephone report to the Stanford Department of Public Health, and the quarterly form residual report, CEPH. Any questions or reports? Under water services, we have five active wells. We produced 162 million gallons. Of chemicals delivered was 6,720 HIPO. Fire hydrant flushing, zero. And the 2013 water production table is current up to July. Bacteriological results for water, we took 20 samples and all of them were negative. Questions?
No, it's just noticing what the heat does, that's all.
You can see the trend there.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, to get back to fire hydrants for a minute, though, prior to your coming, we were doing some regular fire hydrant cleaning. I think it was on a schedule. Is that correct? And why are we still on a schedule? Are we just not doing it now, or am I wrong?
I don't know.
Virgil?
You typically try not to do the flushing during the summer months because of the
high use of
demand. Try to do it either spring or the fall.
But is it something we do on a yearly basis? We try to go do the whole season?
We try to.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
What I was told is that typically the month of August is when we have the most groundwater calls. And up to today, we have zero groundwater calls for the month of August. Wastewater service, wastewater laboratory analysis, you see, May. That's the typo. There should be June lab data and July lab data. I'm not sure if it's on the PDF. I sent a PDF and the PowerPoint, so hopefully the PDF has the.
It's wrong too, but that's okay. We get it.
Okay. So you can see the results there for our flow. We had 38.55 monthly total effluent flow. Average of 1.285 MGD. Effluent BOD was 27 pounds monthly average. And monthly average, you see, gross spent solid pounds was 50. The effluent BOD monthly average in milligrams per liter was 3.0. And for the TSS, it was 5.0. Protocol form 70 median max was 16. And the daily maximum was 30. Percent BOD monthly average removal is 98.6% efficiency, and the TSS 94.6% efficiency. The EC is 2132 years old.
Why is there such a discrepancy between June and May and June for a protocol? 7 day median max and daily max for a year. May is showing 16 and 30, and June is showing 3 and 4.5.
The daily maximum is the maximum number you get at any time during the month for any sample, right? For example, we have a limit, a daily maximum limit of 240 twice. You can do it one time, it's still not violated, but if you do it twice in 30 days, then it's a violation. So last month, the highest was 13. In July, it was 30. And that was near when we're actually starting to switch the channels. We switch the channels, UV channels every 2 months, and if it starts to kind of get dirty, we'll get in and clean it. But this is one of our indicators right here. If it starts to come up, we go and take a look, close look, and it looks like it's starting to get dirty, we turn around, take it offline, and we clean it.
Thank you.
Now, just to comment a little bit further on that, the 7-day medium is 23. But again, depending on how many samples you take within that 7-day period, right? If you take three, you take the high one off, the low one off, the one in the middle is the 7-day medium. Right? In this case, the 7-day medium was still below our 23 limit. Wastewater services, MPD is related excursion, zero. Bacteriological tests, we took 10. Back tea samples, and they were all negative. List of active lift stations, 15. Polymer used for the big output compressor, 60 gallons. And the amount of wastewater received into the facility was 47.82 million gallons. Under collection system, we flushed 0 feet of sanitary sewer. Year to date, we still have 0 feet completed. CCTV is 0 feet completed. Inspected 0 manholes and covers. Year to date, we have 8. Performed weekly lift station inspections. Inspected vaulted lift stations. Wastewater service maintenance. Under wastewater, vacuum out clarifier number 2 wet well. Replace the 3-way valve at plant number 2. Install GPS devices on vehicles at the pilot test. Switch UV channels from UV 3000 to 3000 plus. Replace bulbs on UV 3000 tank C module 5. Remove pump number 4 from central pump station at plant number 1. It magged out bad. Plant number 2, magna rotor brush number 1 has problems with the gearbox.
Let me ask a quick question. What is it magged out bad mean? I know it's not good, but what's magged mean?
It's an electrical term. I'm not exactly sure how to clarify
it. It's generally you're looking for amps. And generally, every motor has got a rated for how many amps it's to utilize.
Right.
And it should stay under that number. When it reaches that number, say for example, a motor is rated for 30 amps. If it reaches that number and above, it's magged out. That's terminology within. I'm not sure where that came from, but it's just terminology.
It's indicating that it needs to be refurbished or whatever, replaced.
Sometimes they can be. Sometimes the copper wires in there just rerun. Other times, there's a short across that, so you just have to find it.
All right. But electrical terminology.
Yes.
I hope that helps. I mean,
drawing more amps than it's supposed to.
It was bad and it got swapped out. That's what I'm getting out of this, right?
That's correct on that one.
Okay, plant number 2, magna rotor brush number 1 has a problem with the gearbox. Plant number 2, motor brush number 4 needs to have a bearing replaced. Both these action items are going to be addressed early in August. And they have been addressed. Perform preventive maintenance, pressure wash and clarify each week for algae removal. Underwater, replace dimmit switches on well number 2, replace the pouring line on well number 5, troubleshoot and replace well number 6 control valve. Well number 2 may break the trip at the reset. And we actually had some problems with that going on. We had to change the breaker on that. I mean, we might potentially still have some more problems. I went after, maybe get PG involved in that one. Perform preventive maintenance for water. Wastewater service preventive and corrective work orders completed at 191, 12 hours, 114. Work order backlog, aging 8 to 30 days, 50. Aging greater than 30 days, 21. Emergency call out, we had 10. Zero emergencies. Personnel hours and overtime, 1,234 regular hours. Overtime, 76.25. And then wastewater service.
Are we fully staffed?
We are fully staffed. With a bunch of good people.
We have a public comment from Virgil.
And just for the board, just so you know, in one of his statements there, he said for the month of June, 48 million gallons came in. And if you remember, go to June's, at the wells, you pumped out 152 million. So it's telling you roughly 112 went for irrigation, or maybe some water leaks in town, but there weren't that many during that month. But that's a lot for irrigation. Just just for fitness information.
Which goes back to heat, why it's only, why we're producing six, you know, why those numbers progressively get greater, because the irrigation is where most of that increase probably is, whereas household use is probably made relatively flat.
That's correct. We've even added probably a good 20 or 30 homes, brand new homes online since then, but doesn't mean there are 20 or 30 other homes for sale that nobody's living.
Well, you've also got some homes with pools that add water to pools.
Yeah, correct. I need to think about that.
Any questions from the board? Public comment?
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so we are now going to go to... Gentlemen.
No reports this evening.
Okay. My question was, we were supposed to have tonight profit loss statements for the... why don't we have...
L. Mr. President, go to L.
I've been told that so many times.
Item L on your agenda.
Go to state first and make sure that we don't have to take comments. Thank you, Vice President. I'm just approaching you. Did you have anything to say, personal?
Or what?
Manager's report?
No, I don't have anything.
Oh, I didn't see, because you don't have to listen to this profit loss. You have to listen to something else.
But,
no, district legal, please.
Nothing, sir.
Thank you. Okay, committee updates. One of these, I'm assuming, is profit losses. I'll let you go ahead and...
L3 would be that one. The first item is just community center status report. You're pretty much up to date on what's going on. You received yesterday an email from me showing some damage was done by vandals at the community center over the weekend. I have subsequently, we have filed a report to the Sheriff's Department, and I have spoken with AJ about that this morning to make sure that their SRO and the community services officer tries to track down those vandals.
How much damage were we talking about?
The biggest thing was just the one coping that was broken, and then some, you know, the balls were over the lights, and they broke some of those as well. So probably in the neighborhood of $1,000.
And they climbed in over the fences to do this? It's locked up when they came in, or they just walk in?
No, it's locked up.
And there's no light?
Happened Saturday night.
Okay. In our... discussion last meeting, or maybe it's a meeting before, we were talking about security cameras, et cetera, and we're going to go through that whole scenario. Is that community center area in the mix for cameras?
Yes, it is. In fact, we discussed this. We had a meeting with this on Friday, and one of the items we talked about was a community center with a standalone camera. There is a camera that you can purchase that runs along the Verizon network. That we can, it's a standalone camera, runs on the Verizon network, and it's called an IQ camera. It actually zooms in, if someone walks through it, zooms in on your face. And the demonstration was pretty amazing on that. So we are looking at that, and it's something that we are probably going to move forward with singularly, that one item, sooner versus later, sooner than the rest of those, because that was a one item. So it's a one trick pony, so to speak. Just one item, has nothing to do with the rest of the overall system.
Will one camera cover the entire front area of the...
Well, it would cover the pool area, which is what we're most concerned about right now.
Okay.
You can always go back and add more.
Right.
So right now, the pool area is the most greatest concern.
Is there any other way in there other than climbing over the gate?
There's no other way in there other than climbing over the fences.
So that we would want something that covers the fence then. They have to come over that fence to get into the pool.
Well, they can come in, anybody can enter any location, any of those fences. The key area is the pool and the building itself, and that's what we would be focused in on.
If we could get one out of the back of the building and just pan that whole yard and then something's moving over by the pool, we could zoom in on that.
We've been talking about possibly putting it on one of the tennis court poles, the fence poles where the tennis courts are. Okay. It would focus, it would zoom right in on that area.
So I can see in the dark, you know, just at least in the profile.
Do you have any comments for item one?
The next item is the community center committee formation and update on that. This is entirely up to the board's discretion. Back in November 2012, the board voted to establish a community center committee consisting of two board members and three members of the public. At the January 23rd meeting of this year, The board adopted a resolution memorializing two board members and three public at-large committee members. Vice President Graves and Director Steele were appointed to members of the committee at that time. And on July 16th, committee member and now Director Wiesen also sit on that committee. Since it was created by resolution, it would need to be changed by resolution. That would be the action that would have to take place to make any changes to it, at least with respect to items one and two. And as I see it, there are three options that the board has relative to this. One member of the committee can resign their position on the committee. The second option that the board could consider would be to reconstitute the committee by resolution to accommodate three members of the board and two members of the public on the committee, or three, to disband the committee altogether. And those are the three options. There may be more, but those are the three logical options that appear relative to this item, and Dan is available to answer any of the legal questions resulting in this, but it's related to the board's discretion.
If I may, if you are going to change the committee, you would need to agendize it as a resolution for your next meeting. So you could not approve a resolution tonight because it's not been agendized as a resolution.
Okay, so it seems to me, after the last meeting, that the issue is not whether we have two members on the committee or three members on the committee. The issue is, it was brought up by a board member, is getting the entire board involved in a community center. We talked about whether we could do this by having a committee, disbanded the committee, and it got into a heated argument. So I guess we'll start from there again. And I'm assuming we have comments from somebody.
Well, as the chairman of the committee and as having dedicated individuals that have participated in this for the last several months, it would be my recommendation that seeing that it can be contentious, but that there is some unfinished business with regards to the committee, and we have not had an opportunity to meet since the previous discussion because of this exact issue. We have a member that would have to not participate, and so I can see that there. I'm trying to be conciliatory here from the standpoint I believe somewhere in the report that we've had the community center on the agenda 26 times in the last. Is that on here someplace?
It's in the next report.
Okay, in the last year. So it's not like the board is not being informed about what's going on. It's not. Nobody's being kept in the dark. And so my recommendation would be that the board consider option number two, at least for the time being, until the board community center committee can at least meet again. Decide, where we are with the at-large members who have dedicated their time to this thing over the last several months, and be able to at least have a meeting to figure out whether what the recommendation of that committee is. But that's the purpose of that committee, to make a recommendation to the board. So I would ask for the indulgence of the board to,
what was the number two option?
Just to reconstitute the committee with three board members and two at large. So it would allow Marianne to continue to serve on the committee at least through another meeting till we can, there were some questions that are still hanging out there that the committee was talking about. And again, I would again say that really the objective of this committee is not to keep the board in the dark or to make any decisions because we don't have that power, but strictly to deal with some of the direction, gather information, not detract from what the board is involved with. So that would be my request as the committee chair.
Chris?
Along with what Director Graves has said, I would ask that we have that time to have that meeting, and I'm still of the liking that I'd like to have a community center with some at-large people besides just the having a board meeting every week that we're doing community center shows.
Well, I don't have any problem with the community center committee, and we'll get into this on the next item. My major concern is financial, but the way it's constituted right now, if you have a discussion and there's three board members on this committee, whether it's whatever the legalese has to do with it, if those three members recommend that something should take place, whatever that is, and it comes to our board meeting, it's a done deal. And to me, the whole idea of the Brown Act is so that you don't get into that consideration where you have three out of five predetermining the outcome prior to a meeting. So it's a procedural thing with me. Whether the Brown Act says, well, you can do that. I don't see how it can, but I'm not a lawyer. So there's no ill will with having people on the committee or having public input and going through all of that. That's not my major concern. The concern I have right now is that when you have three people at an additional meeting deciding something needs to move forward and then it's brought to our board, the decision's already made. And to me, that violates the Brown Act because we don't have a general discussion. The vote's already been taken at a meeting the two of us weren't at. So my recommendation, if we want to have one more meeting and have Marianne there, fine, or that's fine with me. But I would like to say that we need to have just two board members on that committee, and you can bring in three at-large people, or seven, I don't care, whatever. But I don't feel comfortable having three board members at a committee meeting. If it was constituted as an open meeting, work session, study session, whatever you want to have, and all five were invited, even though five couldn't make it, that's a whole different story. But be that as it may, I would recommend that once you have that discussion, that one of you step down so that we don't have the appearance of a Brown Act violation, and that we can have full discourse when it comes to the full board, and not three people have already made a decision on something that's being presented to us.
That's a good point. I am in favor of the legal committee, especially through another meeting and let everyone do it once again, but I think there should be two board members on this, and for the exact same reason, it is technically two people sitting here that aren't on a committee. There's no point in us in voting, because if the three of you decided to bring it to the board and all agreed on it, like he said, it's a done deal. So our vote would not count. Or the non-members of the committee wouldn't count. So I would be in favor of continuing the committee.
Okay.
But I think that one member should step down.
Okay. Let me just comment on that for a minute. First of all, let's just forget about all talk about the Brown Act, because it's not a violation of the Brown Act. So whatever, there's no perception that it's in violation of the Brown Act. It, in fact, is allowed by CSD law. I understand and what you're saying. And if the shoe was on another foot, it might. I'm empathizing with your concern. I would say this though: just because the committee brings a recommendation doesn't mean it was a unanimous decision among the committee. That would be number one. Number two, it sounds to me like it's a trust issue. I mean, I listen to what you have to say. I listen to what Marianne has to say. I listen to what Chris has to say. I listen to what Phil has to say. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a done deal. Not a real strong argument, but I just want to put that out there. And again, I understand with the position, with having the shoe on the other foot, it might feel differently. I completely get that. This committee has been together for almost a year, and I can, I think we've gotten through all the little minutia that we had to get through, which wasn't really minutia, but it ended up being to where we are now, to where we have a pumpkin patch and a pool and a tennis court, and we have some movie night stuff going on. But I think that really that's where we're going to be until this board decides to move forward with some other things. Council, we can't have another meeting with Marianne on the board, sitting at the dais, or one of the three of us, with all three of us sitting at the committee based on the resolution we have. Is that correct?
Your current resolution allows for two board members.
Okay.
And there were two board members who were appointed.
I'm mumbling to myself. I apologize.
Has been director of Gleason, but she was appointed in the capacity an at-large. Right. So her position has changed, so technically she should not be on the committee right now. I also would like to address two issues so you understand. One is in regards to whether the Brown Act allows this, but the more important question is whether CSD law or general law allows this. The Brown Act is an open meeting transparency law, and so it focuses on if you're having meetings, this is how it has to happen. I anticipated this issue, and I went and looked to see if I could find anything that shed light on this first in the Brown Act. And ironically, I came across a 1996 California Attorney General opinion that was dealing with a board member who attended a standing committee meeting and participated. And at that time, there was no provision that we have like we do now that if another board member goes to a standing committee and they constitute a quorum, that person can attend, but they can't say anything. That law didn't exist in the Brown Act. And so what that case was dealing with was whether that constituted a violation of the Brown Act because that person was there and allowed to participate. Okay? The interesting is the Attorney General in dicta made some of the same comments that Director Peace has made. So that piqued my interest, so I quickly looked to see if this case had been shepherdized and used by some other court in the state of California for any reason, hopefully for that. Unfortunately, it wasn't. It was only used for other matters that are unrelated to this. And then the legislature, in enacting the change to the Brown Act, and again, do not yell at me for the language that the legislature has put in here. Again, I would have chosen a different language. But it's in dealing with that issue, the legislature adopted in response an exception. And this is what it says. 6, attendance of a majority of the members of a legislative body at an open and notice meeting of a standing committee of that body, and that's what you have with the community center, provided that the members of the legislative body who are not members of the standing committee attend only as observers. They did not say that you can't have a majority of the board members on that body. In addition, further drafting issues, again, don't throw me under the bus, I didn't write this, but under the definition of legislative body, it points out that a legislative body means a commission, committee, board, or other body of a local agency, whether permanent or temporary, decision-making or advisory, created by charter ordinance, resolution, or formal action of a legislative body. Now listen carefully. However, advisory committees composed solely of members of the legislative body that are less than a quorum of the legislative body are not legislative bodies. That language implies that if you can do it, but if you do have an advisory committee of a quorum of this body, it would be required to be an open and notice meeting. Okay? But so the Brown Act doesn't shed any clear light on this. So the next question is well, what does the CSD law provide for you? CSD law in section 61048. This is the section that allows you the authority to create committees. It said the board of directors may appoint one or more advisory committees to advise the board of directors about the district's finances, policy, programs, and operations. Well, that's exactly what you did when you created the community center committee. So I checked to see if this has ever been cited by any court, and of course it hasn't. I would like to make this comment. Having a majority of the board on a committee is unusual. And if that's the direction you want to go for the next meeting, I will continue to reach out to the leading city attorneys to see if anybody else has stumbled on this issue and see where their wisdom is. And maybe there's something out there that I haven't seen. But those are my comments, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
With regard to the open meeting If it's an agendized open meeting, open to the public, then wouldn't the other board members who are not on that committee be allowed to come to the podium and speak under the public comments or that item?
No, unfortunately, the section that I read at the beginning of my dissertation specifically says those who are not members of the committee, if they would constitute a quorum, which in this case it clearly would, can only attend as observers.
Well, but the quorum is already constituted because you have three on there.
I understand the distinction you're trying to draw, but I don't read that in the statute. The statute is clear that someone who is not a committee member, if they would make a quorum of the legislative body, namely this board, that you could only attend as an observer.
Let me say, I understand that this is whole principle, and there have been three of you on the board the last year, I understand that. In the case that if Mary Ann should step off the board, and I'm using this as an if it's Mary Ann, whichever, whoever does it, if Mary Ann should step off, it's not like you've taken a huge promotion, a huge support by joining the board, and by stepping off the committee, you're still a voting member on everything that committee does. So it's not like you're being kicked off the committee and put down the road. If we have, again, if it turns out to be Mary Ann, if Mary Ann says, I'm going to resign from this and just act as a board member when it comes up for a vote, then that solves your problem. I don't think it's a punishment. I don't think it's not a step back. It's just a matter of you're going to be doing a different thing. So I don't.
I would agree with you. It's not a punishment, nor is it in any way insulting or anything else. It's a matter of we have a technicality here that we need to deal with. My point is this, and as chairman of the committee, is that Mary Ann has been absolutely unbelievably. Her contributions have been unbelievable with regards to what she brings from senior and other ideas. And when the board, when the committee reconstituted itself after the changeover that we had from the previous member, it was the input is unbelievable. And Chris and I are both on the subcommittee. It's just an unfortunate technical situation. I'm really think we. I personally am tired of discussing this at every meeting. I just want to make a motion that the board accept.
I was going to do the board comment. Okay. Make the motion, sir.
That's all I would have.
I have just for clarity again. The horse is pretty well dead, but I'm going to keep beating it for a minute. If three of us attended a Chamber of Commerce function or a Lions Club function, and three of us got in the corner and we started talking about the community center, what's going on in the future, da-da-da-da-da-da, wouldn't that be a violation of the Brown Act?
Yes, sir.
Right. So, regardless of what the legislators have done, and I agree 100%, this has nothing to have to do with Mary Ann, and I think she's been great, etc. She can still be great right here with all of us. It's just a procedural thing that I see that just in the community, if you were to go out and just talk to the average person out there, I don't think having three elected officials on this committee passes a smell test, regardless of what the words say. It's just community perception, and that's the difficulty that I have with it. And I think a solution is pretty easy. Just one person step down, appoint one or three more to the committee and go forward, and all's right with the world.
May I speak?
Sure.
I want to say that all the meetings that I came to, Director Graves has been very clear that it was strictly discussion, that committee had no right to make any decisions. Every single time he was very clear about that. That was my number one joy, was working with that committee. But the easiest way to resolve this entire issue is for me to resign from that committee, and then that solves the problem. So I think that's the avenue that I want to take.
That will definitely solve the problem. Thank you, Mary Ann.
And again, I appreciate that very much. I think that your input through the community committee has been great, and I think it's going to assist us up here tremendously. And I don't see a problem putting if the committee, the community city committee, wants to reconstitute with additional public members, I would be all supportive of that too.
Is there any public comment? All right,
I don't want to put something out there that, if that's what Marianne's desire is, I, as the chairman of the committee, I just have a couple questions for council, as long as we're in this environment here, so we're all clear on this, so I don't do anything wrong going forward. Director Wiesen can come to the meetings and listen and observe and hear options, take notes, but have no input verbally into the meeting. Is that correct?
Any board member who's not ready can do that. Yes, sir.
Can I have a discussion with her outside of the committee meeting with regards to what happened in that committee? I'm asking counsel. Let's just make that clear. I'm not asking the directors. I'm asking the attorney.
The reason I hesitate is I don't know whether that conversation would share the thought processes of the other board
members.
That's
my dilemma.
Yeah. So, yeah, it creates an awkward situation in that if she were there, she could hear all that, but if you share it with her afterwards, it could create a problem. That's a gray area. I don't know the answer.
All right. So then and I agree it's a gray area because two board members have discussed it, and now a third board member would discuss it, and it would be a gray area. It doesn't probably technically analyze that some more, but how about this? Would it be appropriate for, because I value her input into the committee, and she's been such an integral part of the committee, and I'm really sad that this board has decided to reconstitute the composition of the committee that it doesn't participate in, but that's neither here nor there at this point. The fact, could she submit in writing suggestions to the committee so we could at least get input from her with regards to things that occur outside of?
Observe means observe.
Okay. All right. Just want to know where I stand.
Why can't Marianne, if she wanted to go and observe and all that, then at our next meeting, if we just have on community center just as an ongoing item, she then, bang, all that discussion could take place right here.
Yes,
it wouldn't be an issue at all. You could give all the input, all the changes or whatever, and we're all hearing it, and it would be perfect. It'd be not a problem whatsoever.
What's the purpose of the committee?
Make some decisions.
No, that's not the purpose of the committee. We can't make a decision.
Okay, you're discussing items. And when you discuss those items, you're going to get to a point where you've reached some sort of decision that you're going to bring forward to this board.
Or not.
Whatever. But when you bring forward to this board a suggestion, that indicates that a majority of that committee is in total agreement with that suggestion.
Which is the way it's always been. It's, nothing's changed.
And I don't have any problem with that. Okay. But now...
Well, no. Okay. So, again, let me just say, as the chairman of the committee, I'm extremely disappointed that this board feels that it needs to somehow control it. The membership and the personnel that are on the committee. The committee has done some great stuff. The members have been at work very synergistically together. But at this point, the committee will just continue to have its meetings, and we'll find a replacement for the recently resigned. And let me just state for the record that Marianne, you've been an extremely valuable part of the committee, and I'm sorry that you are being kept from participating at this point.
Why would you say that when this board needs to participate in the decisions of the community center? That you're just making a recommendation. The board makes the decision, so that's uncalled for.
I'm not arguing with anybody. I'm just stating the facts.
Let's move on. Item three.
Before we go to item three,
public comment.
I called for public comment.
Oh, I apologize. I
forget it.
Is there any direction that this board would like to?
I guess the motion would be to let the committee meet as a two board member.
Doesn't need and motion at this point. Then we're just gonna have to replace the member that's no longer on the board.
Sure.
He just likes Jim Matheson.
Exactly. You're right.
Just for the record, Director Wiesen, you're resigning effective immediately.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne.
You're welcome.
Okay, item three.
Item L3.
Did you say you had something before that?
That would be it.
No, I just was asking if you want, if there was any action the board wanted to take relative to item L2. The item, Mr. President, members of the board, the item for you tonight, this item L3, is to follow up on the discussion we had at the last meeting relative to the community center budget update and status report, financial updates and status report. As you know, we closed escrow back in February on a 7 acre site. The purchase price of the district was $810,000. Back in January, the board decided to allocate the funding by using $200,000 from the town's water and wastewater fund as a future contribution to a future future offices. $400,000 from Measure WW grant funds and $210,000 from Zone 8. There were also some associated costs with the purchase of that, which included legal fees, appraisals, soils reports, engineering fees, and escrow fees. Those fees totaled just a little over $95,000. Delta Community Presbyterian Church, as part of their partnership in this transaction, reimbursed the district $24,496 for professional services that we entered into with different professionals on their behalf for a net cost of just over $70,585. The district also received $36,500 from escrow from the property owner, the seller of the site, which was a result of delinquent water charges. And as you know, you were recently notified, I believe back in June, that the East Bay Regional Parks District approved our application in the amount of $400,000. So we will be made whole there. Zone 8 fronted the money on that and will be reimbursed for that. On February 4th, just days before the close of escrow, the Community Center Committee recommended to the board an operating and capital improvement budget for the remainder of the fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2013. On February 6th, the board approved that budget with a 4-0 vote. Director Peace was not present during that meeting, and the source of revenues for those were identified as Zone 8, Landscape Zone Number 8. As you are all aware, the facility is and continues to be in need of capital improvements. As you know, there have been repairs to plumbing, electrical, the parking lot, significant repairs there. We had to remove some hazards. The play area, for example, had to be removed at the top lot area. We had to make some minor ADA upgrades and the repairs to the swimming pool. The facility witnessed significant neglect and suffered from little preventive maintenance for years, as you are well aware. There was a concerted effort by staff to work towards minimizing costs at every possible turn. And subsequently, we ended up doing a number of tasks in-house that we might normally have done and contracted out in order to save money. And then when the staff and their families actually also volunteered their after-hours time in order to help the facility open, and they did that to clean lights, to hang lights and clean, and basically to make the facility presentable. If you remember, we had to shut it down for a couple of days in order to do that. Basically, there's a table on the second page of the report that gets into the finances of it, and the salary and wages budget, we exceeded that by approximately $7,000, mostly due to the fact that we did a lot of the work in-house ourselves. Contract services, we exceeded that budget by about $4,000. We were under in the operations side and the capital improvement side we'll get to next. The CIP portion of the amended budget was $146,000 for the community center, which included the additional monies that the board authorized for the pool back in April. The water enterprise contributed $31,000 towards the repair of the water leak and the pavement damaged by that leak. Parking lot repairs that were not associated with the water leak were $10,000, and those repairs were funded from Zone 8. The overall cost to repair the water leak and damage to the parking lot was $41,000. The total for both Zone 8 and the water fund combined was $133,000. On April 3rd, as I previously mentioned, the board authorized $49,000 for repairs to the swimming pool. $23,000 had previously been budgeted as a part of the February 6th board action. And so it wasn't 49 plus 23, it was just the additional $26,000 on top of the $23,000. There were three change orders that were associated with the repair of the pool. One was that the pool required an acid bath that was more extensive than anticipated due to the poor overall condition of the pool itself. As you recall, you could not see the bottom of the pool, and it required additional cleaning with the acid bath. The county required us to install a backflow preventer device, and we also added an autofill device so that we don't have to have staff there sitting around all the time waiting for the pool to refill itself. It's on an autofill, and the cost of that was $2,300. We also replaced the lights that were inoperative, so for $2,500. The permit cost is $2,690, and replacement of the fencing to meet the legal height requirements, it was $6,300. Those brought the pool expenses to an additional $16,300. Now, the $6,300 for the fence was not included in the original pool. It was included in the capital side. But I went ahead and included it in the pool so that you do have a better idea what the true costs were for the pool. Overall, the total pool expense was $69,000. The chart shows the approved budget and what the actual numbers were. It came in through June 30, 2013. When you get down to the pool line item for $49,000, and it shows the $69,000, we hadn't closed out. That was through the end of June, but what I ended up doing is I ended up including the numbers. Even though the costs haven't all been paid yet, they've all been billed for the pool repairs, and so we know what those costs are, and I included those costs in this schedule so you can see what the true costs were. Our revenues were expected to be $40,000. We did not reach that revenue goal. We did reach $30,000 in revenues. The next chart shows a profit loss table, and it shows the profit loss table with capital included. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the appropriate way to do a profit loss table, as capital costs are one-time costs, and we don't have the ability to finance those types of costs over a long period of time like a private business would. So I did also include another profit loss table showing just operating in capital.
Rick, what's $8,000 for miscellaneous revenue in June?
That was the sale of the fitness equipment. So if you go to the bottom of the top of page 3, bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3, the report show the two profit loss tables.
What are you on your report here?
No, on the agenda report itself, I'm sorry. Mr. President, the very bottom chart that you just held up on the second page shows the operating profit loss side. Since the transition to community center took place in February, the site continues to be used and promoted. Earth Day took place there. The Friday night movies bring in approximately 200 to 300 people. I expect a much larger group this week because of great movies playing, so that should bring in more people. The Sandlot, for those of you who haven't seen it, a great movie.
What is it?
The Sandlot.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Killing me, Smalls. Tennis courts are available to the public free of charge. People come in, they use the grounds, they come in, they walk. There's a number of pool parties that have taken place, and there's a number of them scheduled to take place over the next couple of months. The community center project has been at the forefront of our efforts, and I don't mean just staff's efforts, but the whole town's effort, the district's efforts for the past 2 years. Starting with the initial negotiation to purchase the property, finalizing the purchase and sale agreements, completing the lot line adjustment, and opening the facility to the public. The project has been a real source of pride for the staff. We know it's been fraught with a number of challenges. Some of them have been overwhelming at times, pool being one of those. Throughout the entire process, we have endeavored to keep the board informed of all the activities, costs, projects that are taking place, and the functions and activities that take place there. I want to just remind the board that since January 1st of last year, the community center has been to this board 12 different occasions in closed session, 25 times in open session. And since January 1st of this year, there have been 11 community center committee members and one joint member of the community center committee and the board of directors. We've owned it for 189 days as of today. And there's certainly, I think the future is ahead of us with it. And I'm ready to answer any questions you may have relative to the budget. There are two sheets here. One of them is the breakdown of the purchase, which is the first page. It breaks down the acquisition and purchase of the facility. And the second page is the operating cost from purchase time, from the time we bought it through June 30.
To me, go ahead.
I just want to comment, the narrative was excellent. Everything, the detail that you gave us in here, I appreciate the recap on that. I think that so far it's been a success. If you look at our community at large, in a lot of ways, and I think we got a long way to go to take you to the next level, and I know this board will do that, but I just want to congratulate the staff on the efforts and the committee efforts, and I'm proud of where we are today, and sometimes I wish things would go a little faster, but I think we're on the right path, so. And thank you, board, for your support on it so far.
If I can add one last comment, before you weigh in here, it is an expensive process. We have spent a lot of money. Many of those funds would have been spent regardless of whether or not we were open to the public, whether the gates were locked and shut. We'd still be watering the lawn. We'd still be mowing the lawn. We'd still be having to do a basic level of maintenance. We'd still have to have the pool pumps running and the filters running and the chlorine going. So there would be certain basic levels that would have to continue on. To this extent, I don't know what that number would be, what that comparison would be, but I do know that we do, from the staff's perspective, we do look at every opportunity, and we are very cautious because we understand the board's position on this. We're very, let's just say we're very cost conscious as a result.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment, speaking for myself, that when I initially was looking at all of this, I was looking at it from a profit loss or income expense standpoint that normally you do in business, and kind of forgot that at the government level, these are budgeted. So you have your budget, so you're not really looking. I mean, look at the parks. Or a lot of things in the community, you're not expecting to get back revenue for what the cost is, but the cost is coming from other sources. So for myself, that took a little bit of changing in my thinking. And I think they're doing a good job.
I don't disagree that you have to look at it from a different standpoint from a revenue source. To summarize, we've got $1 million into the property and the building. We're currently losing about $15,000 a month. The pool came in over budget by about $20,000. Our revenues are going down each month. And this is no infliction towards staff at all. There's nothing there. I'm just strictly looking at numbers. The concern I have is, and you're right, Marianne, that we get revenue in and we budget that and spend it.
Right.
If we didn't have the community center, those revenues coming in would be set aside and done water, wastewater, parks, etc. So where I'm having difficulty is our revenue coming in, I don't foresee a major increase in the revenue that we're going to receive, yet we're taking on this financial burden. We're opening up a whole nother capital improvement program, etc., which is going to take funds away from our main charge. And let's assume for a moment that we can somehow get to the point where a decision is made, either the building is rehabbed or it's a new building or whatever. There's a building or whatever that is. My concern after that is every single month from henceforward, so that for as long as this district is operating, with a community center, we've got to establish a continuing revenue source to fund that. And I can't see at the moment where that revenue source is coming from and how we can allocate it out of the existing revenue that we have and not put an extra burden onto water, wastewater, parks, landscaping, and have the ability to put funds away into reserves for some major problem that might happen through the infrastructure we have now, and also put reserves away for something that might happen to the community center. So that's kind of the area that I'm really concerned about. And that's part of the reason I would like to have the board consider at some point down the road a study session, work session, whatever, strictly focused on the community center and the revenue sources available, our ongoing costs, and have each of us at some point have the ability to kind of describe to one another and the public, because they'd be invited, the vision that each of us has on how this could be better for the community, where the revenue is going to come from, so we'd have an understanding. And then we're able to move forward and say, well, okay, we've got that portion solved. Now let's get the line dancing, let's get this, let's get that, and make all that part of it happen. So that's why I'm so uncomfortable at the moment. It's fine to have programs and think about all those things. We've got a building over there now, $1 million in it. We spent a lot of time and effort. We did some painting, did some fix-up as best we could, and it's closed. So there's some basic things that maybe could be still offered there. As I mentioned, line dancing. I'm not a dancer, but... So that's the kind of discussion that I'd like to have the board participate in, so that we can look forward into the future and also get comfortable with an ongoing revenue stream to fund this enterprise.
A couple of clarifications. First of all, the principles behind what Director Peace is saying, I agree with 100%. We have to identify a revenue stream going forward. But I need to make a couple clarifications. First of all, there are no water. The impact of the community center has, there is no impact on water, wastewater with the community center one way or the other. It can't be used. Prop 218 doesn't allow us to use it. So to mention funds from water, wastewater in the same breath as community center is a fallacy. That doesn't occur. Secondly, we didn't put $1 million into a building. We put $1 million into a piece of property. The building was actually a detriment to the property when we bought it. Our land was devalued, and we got a better deal than the church did because we actually had that building on it. It doesn't mean that it's still a piece of crap building. I'm not disputing that fact, but the fact is it's not $1 million building, so it's not really accurate for somebody to say we spent $1 million on that building. We didn't. We spent $1 million, if that's in fact what the number we want to throw out, on the property, and the property is providing a service to the community. All that being said, for accuracy's sake, I would agree that we have to identify a revenue source. We have to continue to work with the county on trying to release funds that need to be released to us from other agreements that we have with other developers, and I think put a great plan together that's going to make this piece of property better in the future, and I don't see it happening on existing revenues with regards to new developers coming to Discovery Bay. We have some projects coming up, and at that point we could say, okay, maybe 3 years down the road this is what we're going to do. So I do agree that we have to have a vision, and that the board needs to be responsible for that vision, and that I am 100% behind some sort of an open discussion forum where we can all talk about all those details in that. So all that to say, I as I started my conversation, I agree with the principle behind what Director Peace is saying, and I absolutely agree 100%. The only other thing is that to look at this, I don't like using the words personally profit and loss, because we're not allowed to make a profit as a public entity, first of all. But it's an expense revenue exchange, and I understand why we have to analyze that. But none of our properties that we own make money. There has to be a revenue source for it, and we have not identified what that revenue source is going to be into the future. And I hope that we're both kind of saying the same thing for two different, or that we're all agreeing on that from a from different perspectives.
The thing that I'm looking at in here is the one thing that long ago, before you were on the board, even back in David Pufo's days, it was agreed by everybody that looked at the community center, everybody that tried to put a pencil to it, and Virgil will tell you, he's sitting here, that without a ballot measure, you will not support this.
Something we would need to discuss.
Exactly.
I agree.
And everybody that looked at it said the exact same thing, because it's going to be an ongoing debt service that we do not have any way to pay
really?
For. So for me, at this point, we've lost $154,000 operating this community center for the last few months, or 6 months, whatever it is. We went in, I'm looking at your budget, I'm looking at your statement, I don't see anywhere in here. I know that Farron and her crew have got a lot of time in there. I see the trucks out there every day working, and I don't see where you've got them charged in here. I know there's more than what you're showing there. And you said yourself, we did a lot of this stuff in-house, and that's why we were able to save money. Well, we still charge these people.
Mr. President, they are calculated under the expenses for salary and wages.
And how do you break that down? This is a question I asked Farron, and she was getting there.
I think that there was some miscommunication because in my conversation with her is when I specifically talked to her about it. She seemed surprised. I think there was some miscommunication because I was surprised that you said that the other night. We allocate our costs. Did we miss some? We probably did. But for the most part, the guys that work out there fill in a timesheet by project every single week. So they track their time each day and what they're working on. And they've been doing that for a while. And when the time cards get turned in, they go ahead and they turn those costs in. Now, I'm sure that there were some that were missed here or there, but for the most part, they do a pretty good job of bringing those costs, of allocating their wages to the project.
That's how our accounting system, that's how our payroll system is set up, correct? They allocate the project. Okay.
Which leads me to my next question. I know how many employees we have. I know why we hired them. I know why it came to us for more employees, because we couldn't service the jobs we're doing now. So if you're telling me that they're allocated to the community center, yet the other work's being charged, how's that work being done?
No, there was a massive effort that had to take place in order to get a lot of the work done. And so, yes, some things did get delayed. The palm tree trimming didn't get started until just a couple of weeks ago. So it did get pushed back. You are correct in that. But that doesn't mean that their time wasn't allocated appropriately to the project. You see a lot of those guys over there because that's where they're using the back area over there as a base. They're using this place to, there's a roll-off bin out there, you can see it, they're bringing their equipment in and out. They're using that to bring all the palm fronds to, for example, because you can't recycle palm fronds. So as opposed to taking them all the way down to the plant, coming back, they're just bringing here. With respect to the new employee, his time, a significant amount of his time is budgeted to the community center. As relates to the maintenance, the overall maintenance, whether it's mowing the lawn, and whether he mows the lawn or the other guy mows the lawn, it's allocated according to...
Just like it is for Cornell or Regatta.
I understand that, but I'm seeing, it goes back again to Karen standing here and announcing this right at the meeting that a lot of her time is not being charged in. There's a lot of time she's put in on that project.
She has to get charged, otherwise she doesn't get paid. She has to get charged to Zone 8 for any work that takes place in Zone 8. And if it's all going to Zone 8, then she has to allocate her time to Zone 8 or to the community center, which both come out of the same fund. So it's irrelevant, really, it's relevant to the community center bottom line numbers, but they all come out of the same fund. So it would not make sense for her to not allocate it to the community center. Unfortunately, Farron was injured this weekend and she's not here. And so I did talk to her about it after the meeting last week, though. And she said, no, we're allocating our time.
I mean, I just think it gives you a fair picture. I mean, I'm looking at right now what we're losing a month in there. We've got... Again, before you start, I'm not talking about what we use any revenue from any place. We can't use water, so I understand that. but we still have a responsibility not to go into our reserves, into our money, to take out 13, 14, 15 grand a month and stick it in the community center that's going to sit there and die. We have a pool we just spent $69,000 on. We've allocated $280,000 for the budget for that building that needs to be torn down. I mean, I just don't think this was a great use of the ratepayers' money, to tell you the truth.
The labor costs, if you recall, from February through June 30, once we closed the building, a significant portion of those labor costs went away because we were staffing that building from 4:30 or 5 a.m. 5 a.m. until 8 p.m. at night. Started out till 9 p.m. and we shuttled it back to 8 p.m. So we were paying those hours, and so we're not paying those anymore.
But the $7,000 revenue's gone away also.
Well, I understand that. I understand that, but the revenue was supposed to help support that payroll, and it's not doing so.
I know that. But
and so they're both gone.
Yeah. One was larger than the other. It's not why. My question is, I'm trying to figure out what we've lost in here, what it's costing us to open this place every month. And at this point, it looks like we're going to continue on a monthly basis for however long we do this, writing a check for about 13, 14 grand every month to keep it open.
And I don't disagree with that. Apparently, that's it. But then I would say, well, gee, at Christmas, what's it costing us every day to have Cornell Park open? What's it costing us every day to have Regatta open? What's it costing us every day to have Ravenswood open? Why are we analyzing this in a different light than we analyze the rest of our parks?
Because we're writing a check for this every month.
We're writing a check for those too.
You have revenue from them.
What revenue?
From the zone. You have zone 8 revenue? You don't have zone
8? Zone 8 revenue, this isn't zone 8.
I understand that, but
we're treating this as a public park. It is a public park, is what it is. Anybody can walk in anytime they want. The building is closed for the most part, but they can come in and use the park. They can play frisbee, they can play tennis, they can play, you can throw the football around, they can go swim when the pool's open, they can play tennis, they can have barbecues, they can have a family reunion. So all those activities are available just like they are at any of our other parks. They can come in, they reserve them, they go through the same reservation process they would at Cornell or Ravenswood or any of our other locations.
I think what Mark is saying is that we've taken on an added expense that we didn't have before, but our revenue on Zone 8 is still the same.
We've added revenue.
It's that revenue is being taken away from Cornell and taken away from Sniper and all the other parks. We've only got X amount of revenue to handle those. We've added a new one, and we haven't resolved how we're going to handle this added increase in expenses. And that I agree with Director Graves. We need to get together, whatever staff is ready, to kind of have this big discussion. We can't have it here tonight, but I think we're getting there. We're starting to kind of get our hands around what is the biggest issue we have coming into the future, and it's not programs, and it's not night movies, and it's not those things. It's the money.
I understand what the board is saying, and I don't want you to think that we're cavalier about this at all, because we're not. If I get I got some of the change requests, and I'm like, we have to do them, but you certainly don't want to see them take place.
Yeah.
With respect to the funding on Zone 8. Yes, it is an additional draw on zoning funds, there's no question about it. It's still within the budget of numbers. We only get the next number of dollars every year.
We budgeted, I remember we did the budget, but it's money we budgeted that's on top of what we normally would spend in that zone.
I would agree with that. So, Director Sada, Vice President, Mr. President,
whatever you want.
Mark. I understand. I hear what you're saying, and I think you're more frustrated by it than I am, and that's okay. I mean, we all. But my question for you is, what do you suggest? What's your solution then? Because I hear the problem you're throwing out there, but I don't hear a solution.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
My original feeling when we first started talking about this, long ago, was to acquire the land. Let's find the land. If it takes 5 years to build, 5 years to find a revenue stream, whatever it takes, we have the land. We own it.
And then, okay.
And at one time we talked about shutting the pool, shutting the building. Even we could have made a park out of it. We could have torn a building down, made a park out of it, a really nice park, and it cost us nothing when it was done. We came in here as fast as we could go. We budgeted $283,000. We have gone well over that. We're now losing $13,000 left running it, and we have a dilapidated piece of crap of a building.
Okay, so you've just now given me all the facts over again, but you haven't given me the solution.
The solution, at this point, what is the solution?
That's what I'm asking you. What's your solution?
I don't know what the solution is. We've spent so much money on this place already. What do we have for the money we spent? A pool.
And tennis courts.
We have those already.
And we have land. We have
the land was the idea of getting us to get the land. That was the idea of getting it.
But wait. What do you mean we have that already? Well, we spent the $810,000. We didn't have the tennis courts before we spent the money. But we have to maintain that. Or did you want to just shut the thing down, put barbed wire around it, and let it die?
No. But I think we should have looked at other things other than spending $300,000, $287,000 plus the pool. And another $13,000 a month on a building that's ready to fall down.
Okay, you keep talking about the building.
That's what I'm talking about.
What building? Well, how much money have we spent on the building, Rick?
We spent
specifically
the first
building.
Budget. The first budget we approved was $283,000.
How much have we spent on the building?
I don't know that exact number, but it's
roughly
not.
$40,000, $50,000, $20,000.
Yeah,
$20,000.
For the building alone.
Let me ask you this
question.
The night that we first talked about this, we took the first vote. If you'd known the pool was going to be $70,000 to redo, would you have voted yes?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
It was less the fence cost. So it was 64.
I can't change any of this right now. We've already gone ahead and spent the money. So the question now is what we do with it.
Exactly.
Do we want to continue to lose $13,000 or $14,000 a month with no plan for what we're going to do with it?
As opposed to what?
I don't know.
I agree. As long as I don't know the great answer. Because
that's the answer.
Because I don't know either, and I don't think any of us really know.
We sat down and we blew $300,000.
We're going to schedule a community center committee meeting by the end of the month. At that point, I think that the community center committee. I will talk to the committee, but I'm thinking about making a recommendation that it be just put aside as a standing committee for the time being until then move forward with. Because I mean, I'm hearing what everybody's saying. You know, and I don't want to be ignorant to it, and I'm not trying to battle with people. So I think we do need to address that. And to be honest with you, you and I have not talked about this outside of this room, but I always have felt the same way as you did with regards to a revenue stream. I have always said, and I said it in the community center committee meetings, I have witnesses that I said, hey, until we can get the community to buy off on the community center, and that means that they got to take something out of their pocket and put it on the table. If it's $50 a year, whatever that assessment is, they got to take something out of their pocket, put it on the table, and say, I want to invest in this community center now. I bugged you to get it. I bugged you for 20 years to get it. Now you've got it. Now we have it. What are you going to do, community? And if they don't step up, then everything stays status quo because we can support it on WW money. But if we want to do anything more to the building or any of that kind of stuff, I believe that the community has to buy off on it. That's always been my personal opinion.
If we had a revenue stream, we wouldn't have this company. I'd be voting yes on everything.
But, right.
I'd be all for it,
right.
Pay for it. And Ricky, I just saw you put on the end, it was 283, not counting the overage on the pool. I've got it at home somewhere. The first budget we voted on was 283.
But we didn't spend it, though. Voting on a budget is one thing.
We spent it. We spent more than that.
On the building?
Our budget that this board approved, including the pool, which all the bills have not been paid for yet, that I've included them in the numbers, okay, on the agenda report, because they're not in they don't show up on the big sheet, but I included them on the table in the report. This board authorized a budget of $246,000, okay, all out of Zone 8. We allocated $30,000 of that to the water leak, so we pulled $30,000 out of Zone 8. But I included that in the numbers, just so everybody's straight. The board approved for this year ending June 2013, $246,000. We've come in at $241,000.
But that's not just for the building.
That's operations. That's cool. Okay. That's right. Everything. Okay. $210,000 hit Zone 8. And $30,000 hit the water.
And remember, that included the board agreeing to operate the health club at a loss through June, which we thought was going to be about $30,000, which didn't turn out to be that much. But, yes, we knew that. The board approved it.
Now it's time to go in a different direction.
Okay.
Now it's time to analyze where we're going.
What President Simon's referring to is the budget that we approved this current fiscal year, which includes the renovation of the building as a placeholder. So that is in
whatever I looked at. I remember being 280.
Okay.
It's actually 552.
No, I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the budget. And that for 30 grand, I'm not going to argue. I really don't care. But my concern is exactly what I said. Without a revenue stream, how much more do we just keep putting into this building every month? So at this point, we're just beating a dead horse against Let's Move On.
Well,
any public comments?
I would like to ask the board to agree to direct staff to schedule a meeting to discuss future financial issues so we can have this discussion, roundtable discussion, to get our feelings on what each of our vision is and have staff give us some input on revenue source possibilities, et cetera.
Future agenda items, sometime in September, I think we should have a...
I'm game for whatever.
Yeah, that's
whatever.
My problem is I have my finance manager out, as you are well aware, for an extended period.
Yeah, but you know, we can still meet near the end. I mean, we can still meet as a board and discuss possibilities and then take those.
Well, I think
she should be back by the...
What numbers do we have?
The third week of September, I believe.
Yeah,
so put it in the first meeting in October.
Yeah, I think that would be appropriate.
You want any other discussion? Any public comment? Okay, let us now move on. Correspondence, we have public record. What is Contra Costa Electric for Compliance Weingart Engineering Certified Payroll?
It was a union that wanted to get a copy of a certified payroll for one of our projects. It was a contract that was hired. They did the
lights.
The lights out of Cornell Park.
Okay. Future agenda items, Marianne, anything?
Being new, I may say things that aren't the right thing to put in. But two things. Discussion about having a sign out front. And it's pretty hard for anybody, even though we have a community center. And that might be more appropriate for the meeting that we're going to have in October.
That's a good point. We'll put that on the agenda.
I actually have been working with a sign company, and we've got a proposal today. And hopefully we'll be able to bring something to the board sooner than later for approval of that.
Okay, and then Rick and I had also talked the sign at the corner, which doesn't belong to the town, but it still says that it's the other club.
Oh, the athletic club?
Well, on Hoffman's Tower?
Right.
Yeah. I would go ahead and finish.
And then my last thing, and as I said earlier, that the community center really is my passion. There are a lot of people in the community that have talked to me that really want to volunteer, and I would really... at some point down the line, have us consider having Friends of the Town of Discovery Bay so we can get volunteers together, because if you use the community center, senior community center in Brentwood as an example, that's run all by volunteers. And there's a lot of people in this community, I'm sure, that would be more than willing to get involved and have agendas and items going on at no cost, and have something going on at that community center. I think some of the frustration among people is that nothing's happening.
Is that suggestion to form a nonprofit
no,
title or
no, because I did some research on that, and a 501c3 is not...
Money, this is for placing items on the agenda, not for discussion.
We'll put it on the agenda. Add it to the agenda.
And the different ways of... And that would be for the workshop.
We could put all these kind of items in that same package. That would be great.
And then we can discuss what the pros and cons of that are.
Chris, Heather?
Yeah, I want to, get the volunteer coordinator and volunteer program established. And so I would say we have the agenda item. And the second item is I've talked about there's... The school districts have got requirements for the students for so much community service, and I know we're doing an intern program, we're at a summer intern program, but I would like to see a standing high school, college volunteer program through the volunteer coordinator.
Absolutely.
Kevin? No. With that?
Mr. President, we do need a motion to change the regular meeting date for September 18th.
Yeah, that was another thing.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Adjourned. Thank you.
Do you want me to meet you?